All right, it's another Wednesday night, and you are in the zone here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Dave and Glass with you again on another Wednesday night, and we are, as always, taking your phone calls at 333-2665. Lots to talk about tonight as the Hoosiers head into their second version of their rivalry game against the Boilermakers. This one here in the Assembly Hall tomorrow night. And that'll be 7 o'clock on that, and ESPN is the broadcast channel for that game tomorrow night. So a big, big game here for the Hoosiers as the entire Big Ten heads down the final stretch. Pretty much all the teams at the top have 5 games left to play as they position themselves for the Big Ten tournament. IU currently in a tie for 5th, which would have them playing on the second day of the tournament, only having the first day bye, so they would play on Thursday, but trying desperately to get into the top 4 and get a double bye and start their play on Friday. We'll look a little bit into what that all looks like going down the stretch. Of course, it's all prediction time at this point in time, but we will see. But heading into tomorrow night's game in particular, you can't win 5 before you win 1, so you got to beat Purdue tomorrow night. We went up to Purdue a couple weeks ago, and it was a Purdue team that really wasn't really hadn't really found itself so much, I guess is the best way to put it. A.J. Hammonds had regained his spot in the starting lineup, and it started to maybe turn things around a bit. But the Hoosiers showed up and pretty well got their doors blown off in the first half. It was an 11-point lead at half. It stretched it out to at least 20, I believe, was the big lead by Purdue or thereabouts. And that was pretty much the end of that. But what I recall most specifically about this game after the game is hearing Tom Crean talk about something that I have a hard time entirely understanding what you do here, and maybe you can help me with this, Glass. But A.J. Hammonds ended the game with 8 blocks. And the comment after the game was, we know this team has to go through the paint. That's what they talk about all the time. You have to play through the paint, which means you got to get there first, and then you got to do something with it. But the comment then was, you can't just keep going at A.J. Hammonds over and over and over and over and think you're going to jump over him, jump around him. So I suppose the question is, if they're manning you up out there and you got A.J. Hammonds one-on-one and you're Yogi Ferrell, you don't go to the glass. You don't try to get him in foul trouble. You try to pull up for a 15-footer. I mean, what's the strategy? What do they have to do differently this time around so A.J. Hammonds defensively isn't that big of a factor?
A.J. Hammonds' man is going to have to go at A.J. Hammonds, and you're going to have to use things that maybe kids don't use a lot of these days. Fakes, ball fakes, good positioning, patience. Just because you're one-on-one with Hammonds doesn't mean you have to take it into him and get a shot block. You have to get him in a situation where he's uncomfortable. Tom Crean said in his press conference today, we're trying to get Hammonds in a spot where he has to make a lot of decisions, and I like that. Do you go for the block? Do you reach? Do you do this? Do you get post presence? Do you get this and that? And you got to mix it up, because I don't think Indiana has that presence where you can just say, okay, it's Vonleh versus Hammonds, and you say, okay, well, take my chances on that. Somebody's got to come and double him. But what happens is nobody has to double. That's the other thing. So the person who is attacking Hammonds has to be smart and has to be patient. And to be fair, Dave, maybe you get a call or two more at home than you do in Mackey Arena when you go to the basket strong and physically, usually on the road, for whatever reason.
Well,
the team doesn't get that whistle.
Purdue's a physical team out front. I mean, they are going to bump you around, and so you're right. You might get a couple
extra.
Which
is fine, but again, omitting and settling for jump shots puts you into that end of the pool where, oh, we'll just hit 15 or 18 threes and everything will be great. Well, that doesn't always happen. And Indiana's a pretty good rebounding team, as we know. But again, is it the best shot you can get? Is it the shot? I don't think the ball that goes inside against Hammonds in the post has to go up every time if it's not the best shot of your offense. Just to take it to A.J. Hammond doesn't make sense. But the point is, it's not about A.J. Hammonds per se. It's about Troy Williams. It's about Yogi Ferrell. It's about James Blackman and Robert Johnson. Is it settling for jump shots, or is it getting into the lane and making Hammond step up? Are you going to knock down that 10-footer, or is Hammond's going to come out and block it? Then Troy's on his baseline in his office doing work. It has to be varied. There has to be multiple attack fronts. It just can't be shoot jump shots, throw it in the post. That doesn't work for Indiana. It has to be cutting. It has to be movement. It has to be movement off the dribble. It has to be movement off the ball. And you stand and watch, and you stand and watch. Usually Indiana does a good job of not doing that at home. So, again, when 5 guys score, when 5 guys make – movements, when five guys move without the basketball, Indiana is very difficult to guard, and Purdue is going to have to give something up to get something, because the way Indiana's lineup played, if Perea is in the game, great. Perea can step out and screen at the top of the key. What are you going to do? Is Hammond going to sit back in the lane? So, well, Yogi can come off that curl, knock down 15-footers. Blackman can do that. Johnson can do that. You're going to drag him out that way, making some shots. You're going to take him going to the basket. So you have to mix up the offense. Just like in football, Dave, you're the better running team, but you're going to run, and then you're going to throw some play-action pass. Mm-hmm. Well, they don't expect us to pass a really good running team. Well, you do that. Well, yeah. It keeps everybody off balance, right, and keeps them guessing. The best thing Indiana can do is play Hammond straight up, get a body on him, don't let him grab 12 rebounds. The block shots, yeah, he's a little bit taller than everybody else. Those will come. Mm-hmm. That's not the biggest deal. Are we making the smart plays? Is Indiana attacking smartly and not just blindly with their head down, throwing the ball up in the lane, hoping to get something? That's where you've seen some of the decisions Indiana makes. You don't want those always in a close game.
Three.
It comes with the territory sometimes when you got kids playing aggressively, but again, there are good decisions and bad decisions to be made, no question.
333-2665 is our phone number. Hoosiers tomorrow night, 7 o'clock at the Assembly Hall against the Purdue Boilermakers, trying to make up for the first step up there. Is the 15-footer suddenly the best thing the Hoosiers can pull out of their back pocket,
yeah,
if they've got
it's
it?
It's interesting because Purdue's a really good defensive team, and they you saw the numbers last time we played them. They defend it pretty well. And is it going to be one-on-one? Is it going to be ball screens? Is it going to be multiple sets? Yes, yes, and yes. The one thing that Indiana usually doesn't get bogged down at home, Dave, is standing around watching the ball. They do have multiple ways to get forward. They play more aggressively because the crowd's behind them. And rebound. Get out and rebound. Get out in the break. Run Hammonds off the court. That's another way to get them. Yeah. Those big guys don't like to get up and down the court too much in some of those circumstances. So multiple attack ways to do it. Get a body on Hammonds. Make him push and shove a little bit. And sometimes those calls go your way on your home court more so than they would at a screaming Mackey Arena.
Yeah, well, that's part of what you're counting on, certainly, is the home game tomorrow night. And more importantly, perhaps, is just the fact that a couple players in particular have shown over the course of the year they certainly like home better than the road. And I would say it has been dramatic at times, and that is James Blackman shooting the ball and Troy Williams, who's been better of late on the road also. But Troy Williams certainly looks like a more aggressive player when he's at home also.
Yeah, but it's your court, it's your hoop, it's your everything else. And remember, Hammond's last time, looking at his numbers, had 11 points and 3 rebounds.
No, Haas offensively were not huge.
They took up space. They took up driving lanes, and the reason
it was tough inside, but they didn't cream you.
Indiana didn't force whoever was guarding them out of their comfort zone. Colin Hartman just attempted 3 shots, so if he was the big in that lineup,
right,
Hammonds didn't have to go chase him down or run him down.
No, he ended up fouling out,
he did
too,
because in 26 minutes, so he did play a lot, and he only gave you 3 shot attempts. So again, the balance of those, that nature, it needs to come from all 5 spots, and when Indiana attacks from all 5 spots, we've seen it, it's really, really good.
Got to take a quick break. 333-2665 is the phone number. More on the Purdue game when we get back. Dave and Glass with you in the Zone. All right, you're back in the Zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 333-2665 is a phone number. Quick programming note, Friday night we've got high school basketball coming back on the airwaves as the Bloomington North Cougars head to Columbus to face the Columbus North Bulldogs. 7 o'clock Chalk Talk with Andy Hodson, and 7:30 is the tip-off for that game. And if you're listening in the area here, I can tell you that pretty much all the school corporations are closed for tomorrow. Bitter, bitter cold tonight. Wind chills and the like. Heck, our weather guy says minus 10 for the temperature. That tells you all you need to know. Leave your taps running tonight. Bundle up a little extra and stay home in the morning is kind of the order of business. So you can check and see if your school corporation is closed, but I'm betting it is. 333-2665 is the phone number. Heading down the final stretch, Wisconsin, the only team with 6 games left among the major teams here in the Big Ten. Everybody else has got 5. Hoosiers, Purdue tomorrow night on the weekend at Rutgers, during the week next week at Northwestern. And then their last 2 games are home to Iowa home to Michigan State, so I've had a little fun here kind of trying to project the end here, because at this point the goal to me is getting into that top four and having that double bye. Let's see if we can get to Friday and keep out of it. Now there's some hairiness here because you can throw any number of teams in here you think is going to finish. There's, to me, a, if not clear, certainly a theoretical demarcation line here underneath Indiana, because next is Illinois, Iowa, and Michigan, Minnesota, and Nebraska all have 8 losses and are out of the equation. But Illinois and Iowa both with 6 losses, Indiana, Ohio State with 5 losses, Purdue, Michigan State, Maryland with 4 losses, Wisconsin, of course, 11-1, and running away with it, although they do have 2 tough road games to finish the season. Let's just assume, if you're safe, if you're okay with this, that Wisconsin, to me, doesn't finish any worse than 15-3. They go to Maryland, they go to Ohio State, they can lose those games.
Sure.
They're not losing tonight to Penn State. They're not losing any of the rest of these games. They're just not. They're not giving it in completely. So I think you're talking about fighting for number 2 and on down. Maryland, to me, Maryland's got a reasonably easy, if not really easy, schedule. They have Wisconsin at home. Their next 3 games are home games: Nebraska, Wisconsin, and Michigan. Michigan at some point was going to start falling apart, and it may have started last night.
That's 6 straight losses, I believe, for the Michigan. Maize and Blue. Yeah,
they had been playing tough, but last night they got their
they're out of gas because they don't have anybody that can jump off the bench and help them out. That's their problem.
Maryland then finishes Rutgers at Nebraska. There's a distinct possibility they go undefeated. Give them 1 loss to Wisconsin, maybe. Maybe to Michigan, maybe to Nebraska.
If anything, Wisconsin's shown you over the last 10 years is a team with the best road record in the Big Ten. Now, it's not a balanced schedule where you play everybody the same, but the point is Bo Ryan's teams win a lot more games than they lose, and that's why they're in the top 4 every year.
Well, the key to me here is whether it's 14-4 or whether it's 13-5, because they got 1 loss down the stretch here for Maryland. I think Maryland's your number 2 team at the end of the year.
It can be. There's no question about it. But you know, you've seen dumber things happen where a guy steps on a guy's foot in practice, and you don't know he's out, and he doesn't practice for 3 days, and then you got a knee issue, or you get this, you get that. Yes, but if everything is according to Hoyle, played in a vacuum, I could make that argument, because the only thing that's going to trip up Maryland is obviously Wisconsin at home. And to be fair, these teams at the end of the year that have nothing to play for except getting a big scalp, I mean, that's a little
at
bit
Nebraska
different.
Nebraska could be
Mello Trimble still got to play on the road. He's still a freshman.
At Nebraska could be hairy for them, but I don't think they lose 3 games. At most 2, probably maybe 1.
Everybody in some facet isn't playing for seeding in the Big Ten. Are you going to make the NIT? Are you, you got a chance to win you get a chance to get the NCAA tournament? Do you have to start this? But the other part is there are too many good coaches in the league. There's too much good film in the league. There's too many good assistant coaches. And teams know, hey, you know, if we get hot and we do this the last 4 or 5 games of the year, that's fine. You have to go out and play them. And anybody that doesn't want to do that, Dave, is going to find themselves losing 2 out of 3 to close up, or even losing 3 out of 4.
And I'm going to look at Purdue next, because I think they have the toughest road in at this
point. Well,
they
have the easiest middle, so they should have the hardest in.
Their home games are not terribly tough. It's Rutgers and Illinois. They finish with Illinois. Who knows about Illinois at that stage? But their road games are where it's hairy: at IU, at Ohio State, at Michigan State. Look, if this Purdue team has truly turned it around, then maybe they knock off one of those teams, but I don't think there's any way they win all 3 of those. That's tough on the road.
That would be
well, if they do, then
shocking.
You're talking about, I mean, they really
shocking,
have turned that
shocking,
around. And,
shocking.
And all credit
they don't
to
have
them.
Enough offense. That's the one thing that gets you about the Boilermakers. They have no problem, and that's the whole thing. And that's going to be a key tomorrow night, like we talked about. Purdue would love to have it 56-52 with under 4 timeout. Mm-hmm. They think they are right in it because all they need is a couple possessions to go their way. That's the thing. Can these other teams be patient enough with good defense? Because that's what, that's what the Boilermakers bring. They have a chance, no question, to be in those games, but winning all 3 of them is asking quite a lot.
The other team tied for 2nd right now is probably the most intriguing and interesting. It's Michigan State. They had their struggles at certain points in time, and they might still, who knows. They looked awfully good last night at Michigan. They go to Illinois on the weekend. Again, Illinois just got Ravonte Rice back. That's a home
bad
game. We'll see. Yeah.
I don't think he's helped too much since he's been back, jacking up a bunch of shots.
They come home to Minnesota. There's no way they should lose that. But then again, they lost at home to Illinois once already.
They did. So
they go to Wisconsin and Indiana down the stretch and play home at Purdue. there's a lot of different ways that could go. I mean, there are.
There is. And Michigan State, when the Michigan State's like Indiana, when they're really good, they're really hard to guard because they got a lot of guys that can score. When I looked at the middle of their schedule, I told you a couple weeks ago, I said, watch out for these guys.
Wide open.
They're going to be 9-2 because they're going to win six straight. But instead, they lost Illinois at home. They lost to Nebraska. Yeah. But I think they ended up going 4-2 in that stretch, and that's how they're 9-4. So it wasn't like they've gone into a tailspin.
Right.
You see this with Izzo teams. It's growing pains. It's substitution patterns. It's guys that they always got guys that are hurt. I don't know what the problem is there. Yeah. They always have guys that are injured. But when they figure it out, and they tend to go trend up at the end of the year, not down. They don't tend to limp in. They tend to play better. And again, 9-4 in the league. And this was team was what, 3-2 at one point.
Yeah.
So they've gone and turned in the right direction.
Nope. They again, they're intriguing. We'll see how that goes because it's not particularly easy.
Well, the other thing you like about Michigan State, they got big time players that are that Trice is a senior, Dawson's a senior. These guys have all been through these wars. And again,
Dawson I trust a lot more than Trice. Trice
had 22 last night.
Trice gets
and,
hot.
And handles the ball. Tum Tum ain't going to handle.
All three of those
you.
Main guys has gotten Izzo pulling his hair out down there.
They do.
The other team in the equation tied with Indiana for fourth is Ohio State, and this is a team that I think will finish strong. They're at Michigan. They're home to Nebraska and Purdue. They're at at Michigan, home to Nebraska and Purdue, at Penn State, and home to Wisconsin. See, that to me is a game where you know Ohio State's going to be jacked up at the end of the game or at the end of the season with Wisconsin coming to town. This is a team at 8-5 that could very easily run the table.
The only problem with
at
Ohio
Michigan
State,
at Penn State,
they are two. I want to call him D'Angelo Roberts, but that's not his name.
That's true.
They rely on him a lot. They don't have a lot of other places to go to get offense in volume. And you saw here when Russell had a quiet night, that team struggled when they don't get other help. I don't like them because
but is Nebraska, Penn State.
Michigan,
Purdue, are they going to cause that?
Purdue can because, again, not as many weapons they need to defend as maybe they do against Indiana. But Russell's good enough. Again, he's got to do it on the road, and we saw him have a quiet game here. So play it all out, see what happens. And, again, Hoosiers tomorrow night need to win. Let's start there.
Yes, absolutely. Got to win at home, got to win on the road, and get these done these last five to even talk about it after that. Hey, folks, music means we got to head on out of here. We'll be back Monday. Remember, high school basketball, 7 o'clock Chalk Talk Friday night. So tune in for that, and we'll talk to you Monday. You've been in the zone.